Hare Krishna, welcome you for this Bhagavad Gita class. Today is Tuesday, 11th December 2012. So let us start by first chanting the prana mantras. So please chant with me. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahayam Dadati Swapadantikam. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patita Nama Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we are going to discuss chapter 9. And we did the first section of that, but there has been a little gap for last few weeks. So we'll again, you know, there is no connectivity otherwise. So we'll read again. I'll try to be short in the first section, and then we take from there. There are 34 shlokas, so we'll read the translation to all of them. Okay. So please read with me. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Arjuna, because you are never envious of me, I shall impart to you this most confidential knowledge and realization, knowing which you shall be relieved of the miseries of material existence. This knowledge is the king of education, the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting and it is joyfully performed. Those who are not faithful in this devotional service cannot attain me, O conqueror of enemies. Therefore, they return to the path of birth and death in this material world. By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. And yet, everything that is created does not rest in me. Behold my mystic opulence. Although I am the maintainer of all living entities, and although I am everywhere, I am not a part of this cosmic manifestation. For myself is the very source of creation. Understand that as the mighty wind blowing everywhere rests always in the sky, all created beings rest in me. O son of Kunti, at the end of the millennium all material manifestations enter into my nature, and at the beginning of another millennium, by my potency, I create them again. The whole cosmic order is under me. Under my will, it is automatically manifested again and again, and under my will, it is annihilated at the end. O Dhananjaya, all this work cannot bind me. I am ever detached from all these material activities, seated as though neutral. This material nature, which is one of my energies, is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, producing all moving and non-moving beings. Under its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. Fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature as the Supreme Lord of all that be. Those who are thus bewildered are attracted by demonic and atheistic views. In that deluded condition, their hopes for liberation, their fruitive activities, and their culture of knowledge are all defeated. O son of Pratha, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. Others who engage in sacrifice by the cultivation of knowledge worship the Supreme Lord as the one without a second, as diverse in many and in the universal form. But it is I who am the ritual, I the sacrifice, the offering to the ancestors, the healing herb, the transcendental chant. I am the butter and the fire and the offering. I am the father of this universe, the mother, the support and the grandsire. I am the object of knowledge, the purifier and the syllable Om. I am also the Rig, the Sama and the Yajurvedas. I am the goal, the sustainer, the master, the witness, the abode, the refuge and the most dear friend. I am the creation and the annihilation, the basis of everything, the resting place and the eternal seed. O Arjuna, I give heat and I withhold and send forth the rain. I am immortality. I am also death personified. Both spirit and matter are in me. Those who study the Vedas and drink the Soma juice, seeking the heavenly planets, worship me indirectly. Purified of sinful reactions, they take birth on the pious heavenly planet of Indra, where they enjoy godly delights. When they have thus enjoyed vast heavenly sense pleasure, and the results of their pious activities are exhausted, they return to this mortal planet again. Thus, those who seek sense enjoyment by adhering to the principles of the three Vedas achieve only repeated birth and death. But those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack and I preserve what they have. Those who are devotees of other gods and who worship them with faith actually worship only me, O son of Kunti, but they do so in a wrong way. I am the only enjoyer and master of all sacrifices. Therefore, those who do not recognize my true transcendental nature fall down. Those who worship the devatas will take birth among the devatas. Those who worship the ancestors go to the ancestors. Those who worship ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings, and those who worship me will live with me. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit or water, I will accept it. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, and whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. In this way, you will be freed from bondage to work and its auspicious and inauspicious results. With your mind fixed on me in this principle of renunciation, You will be liberated and come to me. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all, but whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am also a friend to him. Even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated in his determination. He quickly becomes righteous and attains lasting peace. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. O son of Pratha, those who take shelter in me, though they be of lower birth, women, vaishyas and shudras, can attain the supreme destination. How much more this is so of the righteous brahmanas, the devotees and the saintly kings. Therefore, having come to this temporary miserable world, engage in loving service unto me. Engage your mind always in thinking of me, become my devotee, offer obeisances to me and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swaminiti Namine. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatari. So this is one of the very, very powerful chapters of Bhagavad Gita, you know. It's powerful because it talks directly of what needs to be done and what need not be done, you know. It just tells us that how Krishna is the controller. It tells us his supreme position, which is going to confirm in the next two chapters, you know, by practically showing something. So Krishna himself says that this is the Raja Vidya, king of knowledge. As I said, you know, because it tells you everything about Krishna. So it is the king. And it is very, very secret. Guhyatam. Here Krishna in the very first one says, Idam tute guhyatamam pravakshyami anusuyave jnanam vijnana sahitam yajnatva mokshaye shubhat. So very guhyatamam, most confidential. Because he is telling the secret of what? Secret of going back, secret of attaining the highest. And then next one he calls it Raja Vidya, you know. He says, Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam. Pavitram Idam Uttamam. Uttamam is the best. So if you see, last few weeks back, as I said that we completed the first section, we saw that how there are things which is controlling and is declaring, you know. He is controlling and he is declaring through Bhagavad Gita his position. And nobody has been able to challenge that, you know. There were challenges, but everybody got defeated. So they accept. All the acharyas of all the sampradayas accept this, you know. So it's very easy to follow. Because now we don't have to rake our brain about, you know, whether it is true or not true. Universally accepted. Okay. By all the acharyas. All the great personalities. So now, he talks about, you know, that every millennium at the end of Brahma's day, we saw that everything goes back into the body of Mahavishnu, who is expansion of Lord Krishna. And then he creates again and, you know, annihilates again and like that, he's talking. But in the whole process, he's very neutral. and he is unattached, you know, he is not affected by all these things. This is another important verse. Mayadhyakshena prakritihi suyate sa characharan hetunanena kaunteya jagat vipari vartate. Mayadhyakshena, under my direction, adhyaksha. Adhyaksha means the president, the chairman or the CEO. Prakriti. See, people talk about all the time about material nature, prakriti. But Krishna is saying it is working under his direction. Suyate, what? Chara, achara. Chara means one which moves and achara means one doesn't move, you know. All the mountains and everything, trees and all that. So everything works under his direction. Not that only some work under his direction, others don't. And then he declares that it's the fools who deride him, you know, when he comes in the human form. He takes a human form to perform some activities. But all those activities, his form, everything is transcendental. We saw that in the second chapter. Janma karma chame divyam. So we never have to forget that. So if you forget, then we are called as fools. Avajananti ma mudha. Mudha means fool. Krishna is directly declaring. Manushim tanum ashritam. Manushim. Because he says, I just do it to establish certain principles. So he comes, he doesn't mind coming as a human being, but that doesn't mean he's a human being. You know, like a jailer or superintendent of a jail, he also visits inside the jail, you know, or some dignitary comes, the chief minister or a prime minister or somebody. So when they are in the jail, doesn't mean that they are also prisoners, right? They're just visiting. And somebody is controlling. So like that, Krishna comes, visits and goes, you know, but he is not affected. So, that's the problem. When people talk of him as an ordinary human being, somebody makes a useless serial or a film showing his, you know, protruding teeth and, you know, he's some ordinary coward boy. He is the most beautiful, the most handsome creation, created being, you know. He is himself the creator, but he created himself also as the most attractive. That's why his name is Krishna. Okay. So, we have to understand that very clearly. And then, of course, the great souls are under his protection of divine nature. Divine nature belongs to somebody, to the divine, right? To the divine personality of Godhead. So they keep on chanting. Others, you know, then there's a jnani, karmi, everybody is discussed here. Cultivation of knowledge is called jnani. Okay. So he takes the Lord as Advaita, as one without second. That means there is no, in diverse in many, and in the universe, they also believe in the universal form, you know. All the jnani, they also, because they saw that it's described. So they believe in that. But Krishna says, even when they are doing this tapasya and all that, they should remember that everything is him. He is the ritual, he is the sacrifice, he is the offering, he is the herb, everything. The chant, the om, everything is him. Even the butter and the fire, everything. Because everything comes from him. So it is part of him, right? So it is him. Like when I am traveling, my hand is going with me. So hand can't say, I have come. The body is somewhere else. No. And then of course he is declaring that he is the father, the mother, the support, the grandsire, everything. And the three Vedas. He doesn't talk of Atharva Veda because Atharva Veda is only the Karma Kanda portion. You know, it just details of karma kanda, the rituals. But real knowledge is in these three. And see this when we go in detail, sloka by sloka, it takes sometimes couple of classes to understand one sloka. Like for example, here it says, and the goal, sustainer, master, witness, abode, refuge. So it cannot be explained in 1 minute. Okay? He is the basis of everything. He says, just I am the basis of everything and I am the eternal seed. He says, I am the seed-giving father, which is important. That means everything comes from him. He says, I am death personified also. Yama, Yamaraja, Yamaraja works under his direction. And then, very interestingly, here he talks about, this is another 20 and 21 are important shlokas. He says, those who study Vedas, they worship him indirectly. Because, you know, they are worshipping the shlokas rather than the person. And they are born in a pious family. He says, even in the planet of Indra. But what happens? 9.21. This is the current account shloka. When they enjoyed and start exhausted, you know, when their bank account is exhausted, they return to this mortal planet again. So if you are doing only punya without bringing Krishna in your life, then you can achieve the higher planet, but when your account is over, when you are exhausted all your pious accumulation, then you have to come back. Okay? And then you are again back into cycle of repeated birth and death. You know, here it, let's see what it says. Tatem bhuktva sarga lokam vishalam kshine punye mritya lokam vishanti. This is called mritya loka. Mritya loka. Kshine punye. When the punya becomes kshina, weak, that means it's exhausted, then you come back. And that's why, if we are intelligent enough, then we don't want to go into something which is not permanent, which is not eternal. Again, you have to come back. So what's the big deal? But those who always worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, this is another very, very important shloka. This we have to see in our own life. You know, what is that? If most of you are from India, from the Indian origin, so there is a thing called Life Insurance Corporation of India, and they have this symbol, Yoga Kshemam Vahamyaham. Yoga Kshemam. So this is exactly here. In 9.22, Krishna declares that. Ananyas chintayanto mam ye janah paryupasate tesham nityabhi yuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. Yogakshemam vahamyaham. So what does he say? What you have, he preserves. He doesn't take away. It's a wrong notion that people say he will take away. He blows his flute and takes away everything. No. He is going to preserve and provide what you are lacking. And this is most in spiritual terms. Not that, oh, I am lacking 100, I got 900 rupees, now I am lacking 100 rupees, so he will come and deliver that 100 rupees to you. Doesn't mean like that. Okay? So, this is very, very reassuring. You know, these are all very reassuring verses of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna's guarantees. And then, of course, Krishna is so merciful and so benevolent and so magnanimous that he says, even if you worship somebody else, I have no problem. Actually, you are worshipping me. That comes to me only. But he says, you know, at the same time, he says, it's not so good. Those who worship the devatas will take birth among the devatas. You know, it's very clear. The simple example I gave of buying a ticket, you want to visit from, let's say, from your place to Delhi, you have to buy a Delhi ticket. If you buy a Bombay ticket or Calcutta ticket, then you have to go to those cities, right? You'll go somewhere. So, devatas, ancestors, ghosts, spirits, pitras, whatever you talk of, you can go there. And then he says finally, and those who worship me will live with me. So it's a choice. Krishna is so magnanimous. He gives you a choice. He gave you a choice whether you want to surrender to him or not, whether you want to have him in your life or not. And now he is saying, okay, you want to be somebody else? Okay, go ahead. I have no problem. And then the 26 and 27 are often quoted, you know. 26 says, if one offers patram pushpam phalam toyam, yo me bhaktya prayachati. If you give patram, a leaf or flower or phalam, fruits or water, toyam is water, he says, I will accept it. But if you have to give it with devotion. And then in the next one he says, whatever you do, whatever you eat, few people chant this before they eat their food, you know. Yat karoshi, yat ashnashi, yat juhoshi, dadashi yat. So people say, okay, Krishna is asking, give me whatever you are eating. So I am eating meat, so I can give. No. He also said in the previous one, 9:26, what he wants. Leaf, flower, fruit. Patram, pushpam, phalam. He didn't say andam, macham, meatam, whatever. He didn't say that, right? So we have to follow. We can't follow half. And you know, whatever is suitable to us, we follow, and that whatever is not suitable, we'll give it up. So this way he says, if you eat prasadam, this is exactly what he's talking about, prasadam here. If you offer it to him and then eat, it becomes prasadam, and then that prasadam will free you from bondage of work. And then both, auspicious, inauspicious, we are not bothered about it. No papa punya. When you are eating prasadam, there is no papa or punya. It's not that, oh, very punya, you will get punya. No. You will get sukruti. You will get a direct benefit of associating with Krishna through. So we don't eat prasadam. We say we honor prasadam. Okay. So you'll come back to him. That's a fantastic thing. You know, he's inviting you back. Envy no one, nor I'm partial to him. He's very, very neutral. He says, I'm very neutral. But naturally, those who render service to him is in me, and I am also friend to him. See, neutral doesn't mean friend, right? Like we are walking on the road, and so many people are walking in the opposite direction. You are neutral through them. That means you are not reacting to them. Okay, go man, you do what you want. Somebody is doing something horrible, whatever is happening, you just go. But that doesn't mean they are all your friends. You know? If you see a friend, then you simply don't pass each other, right? You stop and say, hey, good morning, how are you? Whatever. Right? So this is the beauty. And then he's again another guarantee. While doing your bhakti seva, you may commit some offenses. He says most abominable act. But because you are determined to do your continuous service, he says, you are considered as a saint. So sometimes we see people saying this, you know. Because after all, human beings. Saint doesn't mean you have become God already. Saint still means you are a human being. And then you can commit mistakes, right? You can commit some offenses. But you should not do it knowingly, you know. This is all talking unknowingly. So many things in one chapter, you can see that. He quickly becomes righteous and attains lasting peace. And then he declares, go declare, Arjuna, go declare that my devotee never perishes. You know. Kshipram bhavati dharmatma saswat chantim nigachati kaunteya pratijnahi name bhakta pranashyati. Pranashyati, he will never be finished. In what? In his devotion, in his spirituality, he will never be finished. Not that he will never die, nothing will happen to him, you know, like all those things people think like that. No. That means his devotion, his connection with Krishna will never be cut off. It can become weak. You know, like sometimes the wires need some repair. As long as they are still hanging on to each other, you know, you can repair and do. But if you are cut off, then you are gone, like, you know, right? There is no power. Yeah, and then he is ready to give shelter to anybody. He says he is not discriminating that only Brahmana should come, high class people should come and so on, you know, only kings should come. He says anybody. Women, Vaishyas, Shudras, whatever. They can attain the same supreme destination by following the devotional practices. So he says, if I can take care of them, so naturally I will take care of the Brahmanas and the kings. Okay. So, he says, this word, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, this material birth is a bad bargain. You know, we asked for it and we got it. But it's a bad bargain. So now, having come here, we know that this is Dukkhalaya Ashashvatam. One place Krishna says it is Dukkhalaya Ashashvatam. Temporary and full of misery. But we can make it wonderful by engaging in loving service to Krishna. You take up to Bhakti Seva and then the same miserable world can become much better. And finally, he says, these are again, you know, this shloka is repeated two or three times. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee. Offer obeisance. So this is direct instructions. No roundabout. Being completely absorbed in me, surely you will attain. Come to me. Let's read this. Man mana ma bhava mad bhakto mad yaji mam namaskuru mam eva shashi yuktavayvam atmanam mat parayanaha. So as I have been saying always, the last shloka of every chapter tells you direct the same thing. Every single last shloka is starting from chapter 4, 3. He is nothing but Krishna consciousness. All he is saying is chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Isn't it? Doesn't it mean that? Man mana bhava mad bhakto madhya jimam namaskuru. So when we are chanting, what we are doing? We are worshipping, we are glorifying, we are connecting with him and so on. So, thank you very much. I'd like to stop here. And now we'll take up some few questions. Okay. Thank you, Hare Krishna.